Blog Talk Radio.
The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. Gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the CNC Football Factory. I am your host, CJ DeSimone, and I am joined, as always, by my co-pilot, my best friend, and my brother from another mother here, Carlos Crazy Legs Sardinus. What's going on, Carlos?
That's right. I'm Crazy Legs Fitzpatrick this week, and I love it. Man, I'm so excited for this Jets-Patriots game. I think we have a real chance to win in New England. I know the history is not with us, but this is a very solid team from top to bottom. Buster screens in. But even before we get into that preview, let us take a moment for the late Rex Ryan's coaching career, because I think we might be watching the death of it right now. He's getting waxed over there in London. Jaguars are putting it on the Bills, and I could not be any happier than watching another Rex Ryan team implode traveling overseas.
Yes, and we all thank goodness as one Jets nation here that it is not the New York Jets that is sinking like the great Titanic.
And you also realize this is John Idzik's revenge game, right? Like, Idzik is a consultant for the Jaguars playing against Rex Ryan's team.
Oh, I'm sure he is up in the skybox right now, flipping two birds right out the window saying, eat it, baby.
Oh, he's puffing a cigar. There might even be a little hash in that cigar. He's sitting back and saying, yeah, Rex, who got who fired? Okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. Eat it, Rexy, eat it.
That's right. Well, that being said, I want to turn our attention to a massively important lineup. Just probably the week 7 game of the week. Forget about Saints Colts. Forget about the Sunday night game, Eagles at the Cardinals, whatever. Forget about all of it, okay, or whoever the hell is playing tonight. This is the game that every single NFL fan, this is the game that every single NFL fan has had circled since the day that the schedule came out. New York Jets, New England Patriots, battle number one of two for the division. And this time, you have the New York Jets, a completely revamped team from the year before, facing now what has started to be, what is shown to be at the beginning of the year, an offensive juggernaut in the New England Patriots. You have the irresistible force meeting the immovable object today. Your thoughts?
So there's a lot of things that have been made. I mean, there's some players and matchups to watch out for. I think defensively for the New York Jets, I think the most important thing for the New York Jets to do defensively, and one thing that I hope we can do well, is press the hell out of every single receiver. Press the hell out of Gronkowski. Press the hell out of LaFell, who's coming back today and is going to be playing half the snaps. Press Edelman. Just do not let them be comfortable off the line. They have to basically say, Tom Brady beat us deep. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the way they're going to win, because when you press, that means they're not going to be able to do those quick slants and quick outs like they want to do. You're going to actually make them run further routes, which gives our defensive line time to get to Tom Brady. That's going to be very important. I'm very confident in the fact that Revis will be able to press. I'm confident in Buster Screen. I'm a little questionable in Cromartie because he does not like that contact historically.
Right. Well, as if history wasn't a little bit against the Jets, there is a silver lining in this black cloud that seems to hover over gangrene when it comes to being a Foxborough Stadium. I want to just refer you to ESPNNewYork.com.
And they put up an interesting stat. I was talking about these jokers. Come on. Is this Rich Simini?
No. This is something from ESPN Stats and Info. I actually have to give them props on this because there's not many bright lights that they actually report about the Jets because they basically hate the Jets. But this one, I got to give them props for. Tom Brady Storm in the side is, in fact, our beloved gangrene New York Jets. And check this out. His QBR rating, okay, versus the rest of the league, 71. Against the New York Jets, 48. Now, his completion percentage, okay, not really a lot of people lean a lot of stuff into it, but against the rest of the league, the rest of the NFL, 65% average. Against the Jets, 54%. That says a lot. That says a lot about the New York Jets because of the fact that we are probably one of the few teams, besides our neighbors across the way, the New York Giants, have been able to stymie the New England Patriots. And as much as Belichick hates the Jets, as much as Brady hates the Jets, as much as the Jets hate Brady, okay, this today is going to be an interesting matchup. You take a look at this squad, top to bottom, okay? Now, a lot of people thought in the offseason, myself included, that the Patriots had taken a giant step back and that the rest of the AFC East was catching up to the New England Patriots, all right? Right now, as it stands, the AFC East is a two-dog race, and the two dogs that are hip-deep in it are the ones that are squaring off today for first place on the division, okay? The Jets completely improved from last year. The Patriots, Bill Belichick, you can't say enough about him. He always finds a way to go go dumpster diving and find that one piece over there to make the machine continue to plug and play, okay? But this is going to be an interesting matchup because if you think about it, take a look at who the Patriots have played this year. With the exception of the Dallas Cowboys, who really have the Patriots played with any kind of defensive threat?
The Cowboys weren't even really much of a threat either.
Right.
I mean, the Cowboys aren't even really much of anything.
Okay.
No, the Patriots have played a pretty nice schedule for themselves so far. It turns out, again, this year seems to be working out where they have a pretty favorable schedule. I mean, they played the Steelers without Le'Veon Bell first game. Played the Bills, which is looking more and more now like, a typical Rex Ryan dysfunctional team. The Jaguars, the Cowboys, and then the Colts is probably the closest game they've had. Colts kind of showed us a few things on how to at least put the pressure on New England. But, you know, there's a lot of people in the media that are talking about, oh, the Patriots are going to win, they're going to wax the Jets, and da-da-da-da-da. Look at the past four games that the Jets have played the New England Patriots and the margin of victory.
Right.
September 12th,
like a combined 8 points or 9.
On the October 20th, 2013, 30-27. Last October, 27-5. And then last December, 17-16. So it's like 1 plus 2 plus the 3 plus the other 3. That's 9 points separate these two teams over the past 2 years. And that's what Geno Smith largely playing at quarterback.
Right. And with a less than stellar secondary. Okay,
yeah,
and you can't even argue that, oh, well, blah, 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 you know, that they had Gronk and they had this. I mean, look, the Patriots have a nice addition in Scott Chandler. Scott Chandler does, in fact, take a lot of the heat off of Gronk because he's yet another threat, you know, to go out there to catch the ball. He's somebody who's not afraid to go over the middle. But, you know, I mean, essentially a lot of people were just saying, you know, hey, it's Gronk and everybody else. But you still have Julian Edelman. Now, what's going to be interesting about Julian Edelman is that he still had issues with that hand after, I don't know if everybody saw that on the television, but they saw how, you know, disfigured his pinky was, and they snapped it back in, and he was having difficulty catching the ball after that.
I honestly think he was just jerking Tom Brady too hard, and it, like, broke his hand. That's just me.
Probably, yeah.
Trying to get some targets.
So some things cameras don't catch, you know. But, hey, what are you going to do? But in any event, you know, still, you know, you have your matchups with Edelman. You have your matchups with Danny Amendola. You have two guys that are small that can create space, that can make guys miss. Okay, Jets on special teams. Special teams, they're going to have to step
up. That's
what
I'm saying. You've got to jam them. You've got to jam them. You don't want those little guys beating you. You got to hit them up
right
off the line of scrimmage. Do not let them be comfortable. That's going to be the key to this game. I understand. For the Jets offensively, Chris Ivory is going to be important. I think even if they stack the box, he'll still run through them. The run defense is just not very good. You saw that last week with Frank Gore going off on them. Chris Ivory, I think, will do his usual work, get a touchdown or so, eclipse the 100-yards marker. But the key is going to be defensively. We got to press those receivers. And the other thing, a key note for the Patriots, is they don't expect Deion Lewis to play, who is the little pass-catching running back that has made for a fine fantasy play for most people. He's going to be out, and James White is going to be stepping into that role. You may have seen him in the preseason, look pretty good, a little bit smaller, shiftier kind of guy. Look for him to give us fits, kind of like Sproles. That's another guy I'm worried about. White.
Yep. So, you know, again, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the Jets can match up against Tom Brady, how Todd Bowles is going to utilize this secondary to try to neutralize, you know, the offensive weapons that the Patriots have. You know, plus on top of it, one of the biggest things about Tom Brady, you know, this year he's releasing the ball a lot quicker than he has in years past. So this is where pass rush is going to be essential. This is where not only blanket coverage is going to essentially be important, but also pass rush. You know, you're going to need Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams and Damon Harrison to get that push up front. Okay, you're going to need your linebackers coming in and pinching. You know, David Harris coming in and creating that space. You know, this is where the defense, you need to put as many hits on Tom Brady as you possibly can. And you see, the thing is, though, is that if you go and take a look at Tom Brady statistically, he actually throws better when he's under duress than he does when he's actually had the ability to sit there in the pocket. Now, granted, you could probably say his completion percentage is maybe marginal at best because, I mean, you know, Tom Brady just has a high completion percentage because he just –
Of course he has a good completion percentage. He's just hitting whoever's open within 3-4 yards of him.
Right, exactly. So at this point, this is where the Jets need to implement that blanket coverage and take away those safety blankets, so to speak. Or if you're going to hit guys for 3 yards, you have to stop them at the point of attack, like Gronk right off the line of scrimmage. You know, the defenders have to make sure they get their hands on him. Use that 5-yard chuck rule. You know, it's like, I don't understand. You have Jets receivers who get thrown out of bounds and no flags are thrown. Okay, so a defensive back can go and intercept Ryan Fitzpatrick, but, you know, you can't utilize bump and run where you can stand a guy up at the line of scrimmage. You know, within that first 5 yards, you're allowed whatever contact there is, which is legal. I mean, you could push, you could push the guy, you could throw him to the ground. The only thing you can't do is hold the jersey or hold arms or whatever. But you can impede that runner's progress off the line of scrimmage. So you can't give him a sizable cushion where, you know, you allow him to go 5 yards or 7 yards into the flat because then he's going to beat you. He's just going to eat up the middle. Okay, so this is where, you know, the blitzing becomes important. You have to make sure you're playing bump and run. You have to make sure that, you know, your guys like Revis and Cromartie are being able to stay on top of their assigned receivers to get in those passing lanes. Just create as much havoc as possible for where Tom Brady, you force him to have to go through his progressions. And then at that point, if you can get Muhammad Wilkerson to slap a couple of helmets on him, Damon Harrison, Quentin Culpepper, whoever gets their hands on Brady to throw him to the ground or whack him with a helmet or something, the more that Brady gets hit, and it's shown over time, Tom Brady does not like to be touched. Tom Brady does not like to get hit. The more he gets hit, the more he starts rushing his throws and he starts expecting his receivers to do too much. And when they do that, that's when he's turnover prone. So remember, Tom Brady's thrown, you know, he's not Roger Staubach back there, okay? We're not talking about Len Dawson, all right? We're not talking about some of the other great quarterbacks like Joe Montana, okay? look, you can, when you get to Tom Brady and you hit him, you can disrupt his rhythm. And when you disrupt his rhythm, that's when he's going to be just like every other quarterback out there, where he's going to be turnover prone, because now he's starting to think about the hits. And now he wants to get the ball out quickly because he's anticipating that hit's coming. And the Jets, I'm sorry, the Jets front seven is better than the Patriots offensive line. Head-to-head, man-to-man, stack up. Because Tom Brady's not faced anybody with a pass rush.
Surprisingly, okay. Buffalo didn't have much of a pass rush, although they should,
right.
But they didn't. One thing I want to talk about is not the Patriots offensively. I actually want to talk about the Patriots defensively and what challenges they present. They've kind of been a bend-don't-break type of defense. Their cornerbacks like Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan haven't played particularly well this year, and you could get some pass yards on them, but their safeties have been pretty good. Devin McCourty's all-pro.
Right.
Patrick Chung's playing pretty good, and then the guys they rotate in and out of there, Harmon and Wilson. It's a pretty good group of safeties that we have to watch out for. The good thing for us is there is not much of a tight end for them to worry about, so they're probably going to be concentrating on Eric Decker. But, you know, what does this defense present the challenge to Brandon Marshall? So, like, how would you say they're going to try to take away Brandon Marshall? Because I think that's going to be part of what they're doing. They're going to try to take away Marshall.
What they're going to try to do is they're going to try to isolate Brandon Marshall to the outside. They're going to try to make Ryan Fitzpatrick throw, you know, more toward the sideline than they are toward the numbers, because of the fact that if Brandon Marshall can cut inside the numbers, he still at his age still has the ability to make people miss, still has the ability to get that step. And believe it or not, you know what? I think that Brandon Marshall is probably one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL today. And I'm not just saying that because he plays for our team. I'm saying that because of the fact, from watching him play from the various teams that he has played for, he's just had that ability to make guys miss. He's had that ability to be able to get that separation and to get those tough yards that, unfortunately, some other receivers in the league just forfeit because they're just happy with catching the ball and then just turning into a cocoon and, like, don't let me fumble. Okay, whereas him, he's like, I'm not only going to catch the ball, but I'm going to run through you, and I'm going to get another 10, 15 yards on top of it, and I'm going to kick whoever's ass is in my way until five of you have to bring me down. Okay, and that's the attitude of Brandon Marshall, and that's what that veteran tenacity brings to the New York Jets offense, because you're not just satisfied with Jeremy Curley waving his hand in the air on special teams like, oh, I'm just thankful I caught the ball, so even if it's a two-yard gain, hey, let me turn into a cocoon. No.
We really need to turn that into some kind of shirt. You know what I mean? Like, do the Curley, wave your hands in the air like you just don't care.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That needs to become some kind of shirt or you know, something like that, man. That would be a funny shirt. You just have Jeremy Curley kind of waving
absolutely.
Back and forth, because that's about all he does on the punt returns. The other thing with the Patriots, not just their safeties, actually their front line is actually pretty good. I mean, they took a hit not having Will Fork in the run game, but they've supplanted it pretty well, rotating guys like Alan Branch easily, Malcolm Brown, who's kind of a rookie that was drafted this year. Pretty good. Obviously, Ninkovich, you know, is pretty good. Chandler Jones, Jabal Sherrod, which is a totally underrated signing that was performed by the Patriots. He was a good player in a bad team with the Browns last year, and he's been lights out this year, a low-key kind of all-pro season, I think, so far. Jamie Collins is killer, Jared Mayo, Dante Hightower. It's a very tough front seven as well. I think that our offensive line is going to have their hands full, and hopefully they're up to the challenge, and hopefully we don't get off to a slower start. We kind of started off a little slow against the Redskins and through the first half.
Right.
We pretty much just treaded water with the turnovers. We can't be doing that. We can't do that.
Right, exactly.
It's a winnable game, but you can't shoot yourself in the foot to start the game.
Right. If the Jets could start off the way that they did against Miami in London, where, you know, do I expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw a 58-yard bomb to Brandon Marshall on the sidelines? No, I don't expect that. But if they can come out and they can put together a nice 8-yard drive, 10-yard drive, chew up some clock, get that early lead, don't give Tom Brady a lot of time to work with, okay, then it could, in fact, benefit the Jets. They need to jump out to that early lead, and they need to keep it. Because this team, we've seen two games so far. Okay, one game against the Philadelphia Eagles where they faced an insurmountable deficit, but mistakes and trying to force the ball into triple coverage is what ultimately led to the Jets undoing. But ultimately, until the gun sounded in the fourth quarter, if you think about it, that was a very winnable game for the Jets. But they were able to get within striking distance, but they weren't able to come from behind. Now, your Redskins game. Okay, they made some mistakes early. They were able to cut the deficit before halftime. They came out in the second half. They tied the game and then essentially just dominated in the second half. The Patriots are more of, from the first quarter, it's, you know, we're going to come out. We're going to punch you in the face. We're going to step on your throat, and the game's going to be over by halftime, so we can put our second string and third stringers in because, you know, we're all going to sit and eat hot dogs and drink beer on sidelines while, you know, you guys, like, shit your pants to try and catch up. So if the Jets make the Patriots work, I can guarantee you, I think that this will end up again being one of those 17-16 games that we've seen in the past. I don't expect this to be a high-scoring game. I expect both defenses to step up to the challenge. You know, but if the Jets can, again, limit the turnovers, do not allow the Patriots to convert on turnovers or spot the Patriots any kind of points from any kind of miscues on their end, then yeah. The Jets will be competitive and will definitely give themselves a puncher's chance to win this game. But, I mean,
win this 17-16. No, I actually think we're going to have to score more points than that to win this game. I don't think we're keeping them to 16 this year, the way that the Patriots offense has been. But I expect us to win this game. I expect us to be the better team. Frankly, we're one of the last chances for this league to keep the Patriots from going undefeated. There's only, if you look at their schedule, there's basically us two times and the Broncos maybe is the only real challenge that I see them facing. I don't see the Bills as a terrible challenge. I don't see the Dolphins as any kind of challenge to them. We are basically the last line of defense for the NFL to keep these horrific monstrosities of a team in the New England Patriots from going undefeated. And I think we take advantage of that today. And my good friend, Patriots Glenn, will owe everyone at the bar 4 cocktails each because he made that bet saying they would go undefeated this year. We will stop that today. Today.
Yeah, hey, from your mouth to God's ears, and you know what? The way that this Jet squad is built up right now, they definitely have the ability to do so. So, all right, predictions. We always make our predictions. What do you think?
Well, one thing I wanted to hit on before we get into predictions, the Jets, maybe an under-the-radar move. Didn't know if you caught this, but we actually signed Steve Weatherford as a punter. He might be punting today. Quigley's been he's been pretty awful anyway, but I think he's actually hurt too. So we're actually carrying 2 punters, and we dropped Jaquan Jarrett to make room for Steve, the cuttest punter in the world. I mean, the dude's just stacked anyway. He's going to be our punter, I believe, today. He's going to be kicking for us, and hopefully that helps us out in the special teams area. That's one area this team has not impressed me at all and needs to step it up today. Steve Weatherford's out there. As far as predictions, I hate giving predictions. You never know how this is going to go, but I'm going to go Jets 30, Patriots 24.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we crossed the 30-point mark.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that, believe it or not, I think the Jets are – this is going to be a tough game. I also think that there are some points that are going to be scored. I could tell you one thing. I am definitely predicting 34-31 Jets.
Okay, so we got some high-scoring games, which I think that's what it's going to take for us to win. But this offense is capable of scoring. They're capable of driving down the field early, which is not something we've seen in the past few years. I'm going to be going to your house to watch the game, and we're going to be catching the game, and hopefully we're watching a Jets victory. I did want to mention that this weekend, yes, has been, my birthday, my anniversary with my wonderful wife for 6 awesome years, although I probably made them a little torturous for her. It's been a wonderful weekend, and this will be the greatest way to cap it off with the Jets' win in New England to shut everyone the heck up so they could go home with their tails between their legs and go scarf down some kind of crab sandwich or crap sandwich up there
exactly.
in New England. Hopefully they all go home crying, disappointed.
In their beers.
And
in their clam
chowder pants. And their clam chowders, yes, chowderheads. Chowderheads.
All right. Well,
you know, we were actually out yesterday. One quick story that has nothing to do with anything, but I thought I should mention this because it was kind of funny.
Shoot.
So we were out yesterday, and there were some Steeler fans that were sitting around us, and they found out I was a Jets fan, and this is an older lady. She's like, oh, the Jets suck. I'm like, what do you mean they suck? They're good this year. She goes, no, just historically they suck. So I looked at her, and I said, well, my lady, I'm sorry the Jets don't employ rapists quite like the Steelers do, but we try to keep our head above reproach. And she had nothing else to say to that. So the Jets do not support rapists, which is good.
Exactly. All right. So now I'm actually going to turn the floor over to you. This is our fantasy football minute. We got about 3.5 minutes left to go in the show, so take it away, brother.
Okay. Well, let's start with the tight ends. I'm really just going to give you one or two guys to look out for. One key thing to look at in the tight end position is a San Diego. Who's going to be starting? If Antonio Gates is in, which there's a question about whether he's in or not, you start him. But if he's out, Ladarius Green is a very sneaky play against one of the worst defenses against a tight end, the Oakland Raiders. So watch out for San Diego. That's kind of where I'm looking for the tight end. Running back, the most obvious glaring running back to start this week is Todd Gurley. They're just begging you to start him. He's playing Cleveland. He's coming off a bye. Gurley's going to look good today. I also like Devontae Freeman against the Titans, although you know you probably want to start him anyway. Wide receiver, I really like DeAndre Hopkins. He's been killing it all year, and he's going to be facing the Dolphins secondary that can be had. Look at what Brandon Marshall did, you Jets fans. So, you know, they can be had. On the outside, DeAndre Hopkins is a machine. Obviously, if you have him, you start him. I'm not really telling you anything you don't know. Quarterback, a good play this week is going to be Carson Palmer. He's playing against the Ravens, who give up a ton of yards against the Pats, give up a ton of points to fantasy quarterbacks. Carson Palmer's top five this year as it is. There's a lot of buys this week, so you could do a lot worse than having Carson Palmer. If he's not scooped up already, pick him up, start him. Let's see. Well, I guess I should address the kicker position. Nah, we don't talk about kickers here. So we'll just forget about the kickers there. For a fantasy defense that I like, it's kind of tough sledding today. But check out actually the Lions, believe it or not. If you're playing Minnesota, you could actually have either one of those and be pretty good. So check them out. I would have said check out the Jaguars as a defense, but they're already playing, guys, so you missed the boat there. And that is your fantasy update.
All right. Awesome. Carlos Crazy Legs Sardine is with his fantasy pointers. So all you guys, make sure to follow him on Twitter, at CSS Sardinus. Be sure to follow the show, at CNC Jets Factor. Shoot us an email. You like the store? You like the show? You want to give us a comment? You got a question you want us to get on the air? By all means, cncfootballfactory@gmail.com. And, of course, don't forget to check out soundcloud.com for our latest rants. And I think probably as the season comes to an end, we will be making our full transition over to soundcloud.com permanently. So, for Crazy Legs, Carlos Sardinus, I am CJ the Painkiller DeSimone. This has been the CNC Football Factory, and Fat Boy Slim is going to take us out. See you next week.
The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out. Now.